Bamboo Insights, valuable knowledge from amazing experts.
Hello, dear listeners. I'm your host, Ayaka. I'm truly grateful for the opportunity to learn alongside with you the world of bamboo. For today's talk, we will hear the stories of the bamboo architecture in Thailand. We will share the first half of the conversation today, and the rest will be released next week. Now, I'm thrilled to introduce Marx Rosariel, founder of Chiang Mai Life Architects and Chiang Mai Life Construction. Now, enjoy the show. So very welcome, dear Marcus, and then I'm very, very happy to have you here today. Thank you.
Thank you. It's very nice of you to invite me to your podcast. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah. Every time I actually ask all the guests, what is your biggest vision when it comes to the bamboo as a first question?
Yeah, for us, I mean, in our practice, we really try to focus on bringing the bamboo into the 21st century. We don't focus so much on its traditional aspects or community aspects, but because the ultimate goal is to make bamboo a construction material equivalent to all the conventional materials, to bring it into the big mass of construction, to bring it into the bigger picture for everyone, and not just for a fringe group like all the green people who already know, who are already convinced, or, you know, hippies who understand intellectually what this is all about and all this. These people are already convinced. So my mission is rather to go out and talk to the people who have no idea about bamboo and why bamboo, and try to bring it into their world by designing it in a modern, fluent way that talks to them, by combining it with technology as much as I can in order to capture them where they are, because people are technology people these days, right? They're not sitting and only want to be green. There's a part of society who wants it, but that part is already there. I don't need to convince them anymore, right? But the bigger part of society still has no clue what bamboo is all about, or why bamboo, or why would you be... They initially always think, oh, this is... These are the green guys, he's another hippie and all this. So no long hair, everything has to look modern, everything has to look cool, and everything has to look smooth. And I like it that way. I like it that way. So that kind of, I think, separates us. Many people do like bamboo jewelry, really beautiful little stuff for resorts. And so I try to keep it more simple, more flowing, more accessible to a bigger audience, and therefore hopefully being able to open this up. Also, you know, we were the first ones to really combine bamboo with engineering by building the sports hall. Our design for that started in 2015. At that time, everything was still big bamboo and all this, but we were the first one to really design arches, got engineers to calculate them and show to people that this is a material that is actually superior to steel. And that can be shown by figures, by numbers that are reproducible. It's not just one guy saying, oh, this is better. But no, I have some other guys who actually have numbers behind them who say, yeah, this is really working very well. I mean, our building is can take any storm load, can take any earthquake load, and can last very long. You know, so these are the aspects that people want to know. They want to feel safe that it's not just some guy who promotes his thing on his own words, but that it is embedded into a bigger picture of construction and architecture that is the norm for every building.
That's actually really true. But from first thing first, what is your kind of journey brought you to the world of bamboo? I think I'm interested in like in how your journey started anyway towards the bamboo.
I mean, that journey started exactly with that. You know, I'm a very functional person, and we used to live in Bangkok and have a beach house in our south. And every time we went on holidays there, my family enjoyed the holiday, and I had to repair something because the salty air would, you know, eat into the joints that are made from steel that is not, you know, yacht kind of quality, but normal quality, starts to get rusty. Even the concrete starts to fall off and all this. So there was constant repairs, and I was getting rather frustrated and thought, this is really the best materials we have? Is this all we have? And then, you know, as things happen in this world, coincidentally, it was in 2009, there was the World Bamboo Congress in Bangkok at that time, and some friends who went there after it finished it, you know, we went there, it's really cool, look at this material. So I had a look at it and I thought, wow, that sounds really cool. And I was also reading about earthen architecture at that time a lot because of its insulation capabilities. And so I found that, yeah, bamboo has a higher tensile strength than steel. It's much lighter and it doesn't rust. Yeah. So I thought, well, that sounds like something I could use. And then the time came when the kids went to school and we realized Bangkok is not such a great place for kids because, you know, you sit in a box the whole day in the morning or in the house, then you get into the small box, there's a car, drive to the school, another big box. It's finished to get into the small box again. Then you meet your friends in a department store. It's a big box and you get in the small box, drive home, always in the box. I grew up in the mountains, you know, for me, it's like, what kind of life is this? And so we moved to Chiang Mai, to the north. And once we came here, my wife said, nah, the schooling here is really bad. You have to build me a school. And so, of course, I said no, because who wants to have a school? I mean, as you know, it's full of people who are very demanding, like parents and all this. And so we thought, but, you know, we are an average Asian Thai foreign family. And at the end of arguments is always very predictable, as it was here. My wife, of course, got what she wants. And I said, yeah, I'm going to build you the school. But it has to be with natural materials, because it's just more functional. And also I want my children to have more connection to nature and a better connection to nature. So it really started with the functional aspect of the whole things that convinced me of these materials being the right materials. And I realized the main reason why nobody was believing in these materials is because of a lack of knowledge. You know, people just didn't know that bamboo could last long, that it is so strong and all of this. And they didn't know that earthen buildings don't have to be dark, damp, and earth coming off, because that's the image of these materials, right? And so I went around to gather knowledge from people who had knowledge at that time. You know, at that time, there was knowledge out there. It was limited, but there was. So I started there and we started building and then learned.
Before going more to the details, like, I was curious, like, where your love for kind of functionality come from? Why function value to you? Like, that's just my question.
In the end, it is function that makes anything add quality to society. If something doesn't work, it will fall away after some time. And it's functional aspect that will make this thing add to our pool of knowledge and to our quality of life. Function is really the fundamental part. And function comes in different ways. You see, good design also has a function. And in that it makes something appealing and therefore people have more look at it. So function comes in different aspects. But for construction, function is that things have to work. They have to be strong. They have to provide what they need to provide in terms of strength, stability, beauty. And I've seen it so many times before that if you do something with quality, then it will last. It will add something to life. It will make it fun to use and you want to use it. And if it's something is just beautiful and not functional, then yeah, you can look at it a couple of times and say, oh, it's beautiful. But after some time, it just stands somewhere, nobody's using it, and it just gathers dust. And that is something that we always try to avoid. If I have the feeling a project is only going to gather dust, I'm not taking on the project. I need my things to be used and to show to people, oh, this really works, and spread the word through actual users. And I think at the core of this is functionality. And functionality, you have to understand, has a lot of things. In my definition, includes a lot of things. Like functionality includes understanding the place where you build something. It means understanding the person who hired you and what they actually want. And sometimes, you know, because this is our profession, we do it all the time, we realize that they are not so clear, and we can actually be clearer because we've done it before. We understand better what the function behind this that needs to be achieved in a project. Sometimes they say, ah, oh, we don't need this and don't need this. But I know that this part is very important because, you know, if you don't understand the flow into a project, when you arrive, where you park your car, how is the office and the private and the toilet related to each other? What are the pathways in between? If you don't get these things right, function doesn't arise. So it has many aspects, and I like the challenge of finding all the aspects and putting them together, and I just term it function.
That's very interesting and inspiring. It's a multiplicity of that, the different aspects of like in function, and that is very unique definitions. And then now I think you already touched on many of your actual design philosophy, but I was just very curious, like, in how your thoughts can fuel that your design philosophy, and then also that the concept of life architecture.
You know, the thing that I think that has inspired people to look at my things in the first place most is that when they come and see the things, they start to smile. And I find it is this smile that is the most important part to achieve, because this smile means some connection has happened at this moment. Something has touched their heart, because you don't smile if nothing has smiling. Automatic smiling comes from the inside, right? It's not a process that you thought of before. Many people come, they never think they will smile, but they see my things and they're like, oh, this is cute, I like it. They smile, they like it. And this connection to the heart is that, again, so here you have this function and you have the smile. Both of them go together and they interact, because it's the smile that makes buildings really work. If you like a building, then you will try to use it as its fullest. You will take care of it so it lasts longer. So sustainability comes into place. And I think architecture has been dominated by philosophies that were not directed to adding quality to the life of the people, but just many of them were made to make architects happy. And for me, that is definitely the opposite way. I mean, not the opposite way, in that if I see my clients like it and use it, I'm happy too. So the smile for me is the most important function of a building. If I see no connection is happening, then we did something wrong. You see, we have all these gated communities here. It's the big thing where one house looks like the next one, right? One after the other. And they have their good thing, but if you go there on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning, especially here in Thailand, I don't know how it is in America, the Philippines, you will see 50 to 80% of the people jumping in their car and leaving, going to town or somewhere else where the grass is greener, because it's more beautiful somewhere else. For me, as an architect, that would be total failure. When I build houses for my clients, and that is what I saw happening, what happens there is on Saturday, Sundays, they invite their friends over. They stay home, they bring their friends want to come because there is no greener grass in Wales. It's so good, they want to stay there. And if I see they want to stay in their home, it becomes their home. It's what they invested in, is the place they like to be. I think that should be the goal of the architecture, right? So in that sense, the connection to a building is very important to make you feel home. And homes are important places to have in life, right?
And then now I have a question about in terms of like in care. Is there any tips that you have for making the building like sustainable, but I guess more on a maintenance perspectives or like in how you maybe the smile is the key for that your clients to take care more about the bamboo buildings, and then what is your kind of tip?
Well, I understand your question. It's a question that comes up a lot. That's why if I have a client who wants to build with me, I make it a condition that they come and see me and my buildings in Chiang Mai first, so they can see that what I'm going to tell them is not just empty words, but it's a fact. A well-designed bamboo structure needs no maintenance. Zero. People look at me, look at this. What does he mean? What does he mean, zero? Yeah, you can clean it once in a while, but other than that, there's no maintenance. There is nothing to do. That's it. Unlike with because everybody has steel and with concrete, and they all know that after it rusts and you have to change that. And so I think these are the best materials you have to maintain. In bamboo, you don't have men. Yep, it's no maintenance. And even you see, we have a lot of open structures. We make big roofs, big roof overhangs, where you can see the underside of the roof, and it's very beautiful. And it's a lot of bamboo. And people think, whoa, 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 how do I clean this? It's very interesting. In our roof overhangs, there are almost no spider nets. There are no insect nests. There is nothing to be cleaned. They stay much cleaner than a normal concrete roof tile, steel structure roof. And they look nicer. They look nicer to start with, but they look nicer in the long term because they stay clean. That part, is still a guesswork. I think it's the borax salt that we use for treating the bamboo that keeps a lot of the insects and spiders away. I guess they just don't like salt. But there is really less maintenance. And saying this to you, I can see you wonder, is the guy really, where does this come from? Everybody is like this. The only way to get convinced is come and see things. So in the long term, less work, nicer look, because you can see the bamboo structure. It adds to your feeling in the room. You have the warmth of the color of the material, you have all the structural parts. Instead of a flat ceiling, you see the whole roof. So the bamboo really has many advantages in making a room more livable and just, more likable to be in.
That's all for today. I'm really looking forward to connecting with you again in the next episode. See you!